appreciate you being here tonight. Take your Bible, please. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Take me a little while to get there tonight. Only getting started with this. Let's do pray for our teenagers. They're beginning their enlist program tonight. That's the summer program for our teenagers on Wednesday nights. We're asking God to meet with them over there in a great way, those that are working with them. I remind you as a church family that I have three series going on. Not all at one time, aren't you glad of that, right? But I have an Old Testament book going on, that's the book of Ecclesiastes. I have a New Testament book, that's the book of Acts. And I have a topical series, and that is Sound Doctrine. It's been a while since we've been here, but I'm starting another doctrine tonight on this series that we're going into detail, really just kind of surveying, but yet surveying in detail a little bit on these different Bible doctrines. We have already preached on the doctrine of the Word of God. We've already preached on the doctrine of God. Now, tonight, we begin our series, a short series here, if you will, on the doctrine of the local church. The doctrine of the local church. Now, God helping me in the future, unless He changes my mind, I plan to also do the doctrine of angels. And I also plan to do the doctrine of last things. Now, you understand that the Lord may lead in other ways, but that's my plan at this point. But tonight, we begin this study on the doctrine of the local church. Let's pray together, and I'll share this thought with you. Father, would you help us as we just get started tonight? Would you fill us with your power and your spirit? Help us to understand this doctrine in clear terms. May we understand what you're saying to us, and may we see the vitality and the importance of this doctrine. May we understand it. May it grip us like it's never gripped us before. And may you do business with us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The word church in God's Word refers to one of two things. It either refers to the entire body of Christ, those who are God's children, or, and that's referenced in places such as Colossians chapter 1, verses 18 to 24, in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 and 26. Or it refers to a local gathering of baptized believers, such as the churches that were located in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2, the church that was located in Antioch in Acts chapter 11, in Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, in Smyrna, in Pergamos, in Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea, and Revelation chapters 2 and chapter 3. Now, this study that we're beginning tonight is we're going to focus on the local church. In other words, the church in a specific area. This is a local church. Now, we understand that everybody in the New Testament age who is born again by the blood of Jesus Christ helps make up the church of God, helps make up the body of Christ. Which means that we are not the only people involved in the body of Jesus Christ. Everybody in the New Testament age who has trusted Christ as their Savior becomes a part of the one body of Christ. Which means that I am part of the body of Christ, the church of the living God. And you, if you're saved, are a member of the same body of Christ and the church of the living God. Yet the Christians in Japan help make up the one body of Christ. Are you with me tonight? Say amen. But we understand that within the body of Christ, the Lord establishes local churches. Now the local church is to be an accurate picture of the true church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this being the case, we want to focus on the local church. Now, you understand when I'm talking about the church, it's both, okay? But we're talking about this local church here. I want us to focus on our local church. The local church is to be an accurate picture of the body of Christ that's made up of all born-again children of God. Now, it's important to understand that Jesus Christ established the local church. And it is therefore important to Him. Now, in this study, we're going to look at different things about the local church that should help us understand and appreciate the local church more than we ever have. Let me say this to you from the very outset. Thank God for the local church. And may I say this to you, any parachurch organization, anything that tries to bypass the local church is not of God. Did you hear what I just said? Now, I'm telling you, you cannot bypass the local church. And if you ever get involved in something that tries to get you to deny refuse the local church or ignore the local church, you are involved in something that's not of God. Now, the local church is vitally, vitally important. God established it. Now, this being the case, I want to start our study on this. And this is so simple, yet it's so vital. It's so simple. As a matter of fact, everything I'm going to bring out in this Sound Doctrine series, when you really consider it, it's simple truth. But yet it's the simple truth that changes our lives. Now, I want to give you some things about the local church just getting started tonight. Number one, here we go. The first thing we notice about the local church, and this is where it starts, is we know, first of all, let's notice the master of the local church. The master of the local church. Make no mistakes about it. The local church belongs to God. That's it. He is the one and only master of the local church. It is not to be owned by any other person on planet Earth. The pastor is not the owner. The church people are not the owner. As a matter of fact, whenever we say, that's my church, we don't understand what we're saying. But understand this, this is not our church. It's God's church. He's the master. You're in Matthew chapter 16, look at verse 18. The Lord said this in Matthew 16, 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build what? My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 says it this way. By the way, if you're keeping notes, that's fine, but may the Lord help you because I'm going in fast forward mode. I remind you, everything I preach, you can have it. If you want it, just request it. I'll give you my typewritten notes, okay? Just help yourself with that. You just request it. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, the Bible says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. He's talking to the pastors. To feed, get this, the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. It's not the church of the pastor. It's not the church of the deacons. It's not the church of the Sunday school teachers. It's not the church of the members. No, it is the church of God. He purchased it with his own blood. 1 Corinthians 10:32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. 1 Corinthians 1:2, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. In other words, that was the local church at Corinth, but the Bible says that church at Corinth is the church of God. Now, folks, let me say this to you. This is so vitally important. This is one reason why we are an independent Baptist church. What I mean by that is we do not answer to any denominational headquarters. Somebody say amen there, please. I'm telling you, there is no human head. I'm talking about over the local church, including the pastor. He's not the head. He's the under-shepherd that's underneath the chief shepherd, and the master of the local church is not a denominational headquarters. It is the Lord God of heaven. We are to take our orders from God. And when we understand that he owns the local church, he's the master of the local church, we have no right to do our own thing. No right to do that. That's why we must study the Word of God, get our methods from the Word of God, get everything from the Word of God, because we're going to our master and saying, what do you want this local church to do? See, God never said you'll build your... Listen, he never said, I'll build your church. He never said, you'll build my church. He said, I'll build my church. And I'm telling you tonight that all we've got to do... Now listen, let this help you. Let this help us all. Forget the stress of trying to reach people. Forget it. Forget the stress of wondering, where's this church going to be in 10 years? Forget all of that. All we need to be concerned with is, Lord, what wilt thou have us to do? That's it. And if this church will go to God and let God be God, and we know He's the master, and He tells us what to do, we have His rules here, and if this church will be submissive to Him, everything's going to be just fine, folks. It's going to be just fine. This is what we see. The Bible makes it clear that the Lord Jesus Christ is the master of the local church. Matter of fact, let me give you some things under this. The Bible calls the Lord the head of the church. This is letter A, if you're keeping notes. If not, I've got it right here. You have it later. He is the head. The Bible says in Colossians 1:18, and He is the head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence? Now get this, my human body, your human body. Just as the human body has a head to direct the activities of the rest of the body, the Lord Jesus is to be the one who directs the affairs of the local church. He's the head. He's the head. Just like my right arm is raising because my brain's telling it to. You disrupt the head, you disrupt the brain, and the rest of the body is going to feel the effects. And I'm telling you, our head is already set. The problem is there are many local churches scattered around the world today who try to have two heads. And anything with more than one head is a monster. And I'm telling you that the local church has one head, and His name is Jesus Christ. He's the head. Secondly, under this, the Bible calls Him the foundation. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 3:10 and 11, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's not only the head of the church, He's the foundation of it. And you know as well as I do, if the foundation crumbles, so does the building. Amen. It's deader than 4 o'clock in here tonight. I'm telling you tonight that Jesus Christ is the head and He's the foundation. You know what this tells me? It doesn't belong to me. It's not built on me. It's not built on my preaching ability, and I don't have much. It's not built on singing. It's not built on philosophy. It's built on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. I'm trying to get across tonight the master of the local church. His name is Jesus. And because He's the master, we've just got to get our orders from headquarters. And that's from the Lord God of heaven. Letter C under here, He's called the chief cornerstone. The Bible says this in Ephesians 2:19-21. It says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord. One man commented on this, talking about the cornerstone. I quote, it was the practice in the ancient world as a new building was about to be erected to place a large cornerstone at a location from which the foundation might be properly aligned. Without that reference point, the building would have absolutely no hope of ever being correctly aligned. Now, when the Bible speaks of Jesus as the chief cornerstone, it is drawing an analogy from this ancient practice. Christianity, in the context of the doctrinal parameters of the New Testament church, is to be properly aligned according to the chief cornerstone. The doctrine of the church is to be the doctrine of the New Testament and not that of some later origin. Once we come to accept the fact that the New Testament church is divine in its origin and that Jesus was its founder, then it becomes reasonable for us to make the case that no man has the right to alter the church and make it into something that Christ never intended it to be. It is His church, not ours. Yet it seems that throughout the centuries, men have more often than not attempted to recreate the church after their own image and liking. I say amen to that. You look at local churches today, let me tell you what a local church is to be like Christ. Because He is the master. He is the foundation. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the head. He's the one that makes sure it doesn't crumble. And He's the one that's to make sure every line that comes out is in accordance to the lines of the Word of God. When we begin our study here, because it's vitally important to understand that the local church does not belong to any of us. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to you. If somebody says this, wait a minute, that's my church. Hey, I have a right to do it. No, you don't. I don't either. It belongs to God. That's why I say with authority, if this man of God, if this pastor ever tried to turn you away from the chief cornerstone, turn me away from this church. I'm serious. Because if somebody gets up here and starts, I'm deviating away from the chief cornerstone. God says, go that way. And no, I'm going to go this way. No, we're going to go this way. Then you ought to rise up and say, wait a minute, big boy. It's not your church. It's God's church. Amen. You've got to have a backbone like a railroad tie. Because if you're not careful, the devil will get inside this church and start destroying it from the inside out. And what he does is he'll just take a line, just a little bit like this, and just kind of barely poke it. He's not going to take it and turn it all the way over to, I'm talking about from cold to hot water, just scalding. No, he takes it and just barely starts turning it like this. And men of God and ladies of God, they start having wisdom and praying for God to give them wisdom. And they start smelling something out. That doesn't smell right. That doesn't look right. I'm going to tell you one. Hey, you better learn to listen to that. Because God, He's doing everything He can to protect His local church. You know what this means? This means He calls the shots. This means every local church should simply follow the direction of its head. He owns the church. He bought the church with His blood, the Bible says, and He has every right to tell the church what to do. And if we are in disobedience to our head, we are misinterpreting what the local church is all about. The master of the local church is Jesus Christ, God. I'm going to tell you something. You know what that does? It simplifies life, doesn't it? Let's just be honest. If we really believe what I just said, it simplifies life. Our decisions are already made. You won't ask God if you need to pray anymore. You'll know He's already told you to do it, and you'll do it because He's your head. He's your master. He deserves to tell us what to do. He's the master. Now let's move into the second major thought about the local church. We will not get through with this thought, okay? We're only going to get started with it here. And that is what I call Roman numeral 2, the mission of the local church. Another way to put that is, what's the purpose? Why does the local church exist? What is the purpose of the local church? Now, there are many things that can be said. You understand that? But I'm going to give you a three-point outline, and then I'm going to go through each one of these points, and I'm only going to get started with the first one tonight. I may get done with it. Hopefully I can get done with it. The first reason, the first part of the mission of the local church, number one, it goes back to the master. So reason number one that we exist is to exalt God. That's why we exist. Number two, it's to evangelize the world. That includes Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Number three, it is to edify God's children, to build them up in the faith. That is the three-point outline that I want you to keep in your mind when you think of the mission of the local church. Why do we exist? We exist to exalt God. We exist to evangelize the world. And we exist to edify the saints of God, to keep them going for the glory of God. Now, let's look at these things in detail. First of all, letter A, the mission of the local church is to exalt God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21 puts it this way. Unto him, look at it in context, it's talking about God. Unto him be glory in the church. That's what it says. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. There is no doubt. There is no doubt. Anybody tells you different, they're lying to you. They're lying to you. There is no doubt that the main reason the local church exists is to bring glory to God. That's it. Matter of fact, these other two come out of that, you understand? Everything starts here. Everything the local church does should be geared solely to this end of exalting God. In other words, we do not exist to entertain people. Amen tonight. We do not exist to be a social club. And I'm not against fellowship. Matter of fact, that's part of edifying the saints, providing fellowship, Sunday school. I'll get to that later. Amen. There's nothing wrong with fellowship. But if all we come together for is to fellowship, it becomes a social club. And that is not the will of God. I'm telling you that we rather exist to bring glory to God and worship Him only. That's it. That's it. You show me a service where an individual takes glory from God and points it on themselves, it is not of the Holy Spirit of God. It's not of God. It's not of God. Now the Lord has to give direction there. And the Lord has to give wisdom there. But I'm telling you, when a human being becomes the focal point, it is no longer of God. You understand that? Now, I'm telling you, we've got to get this in our crawl, whatever that means. We've got to get it there, that we exist to worship God, to exalt God. Now, I want to do a little Bible study here with you. We're already doing a Bible study, but let me just build on this. And I'll put it this way, a church that brings glory to God will be a... Number one, it'll be a Bible-centered church. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Psalm 138:2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. The church that exalts God will exalt this book I hold in my hands. We're talking about what's the mission of the local church. The mission number one kind of builds on the first point, the master. He's Jesus. And building on that, mission number one, or just a threefold mission, if you will, first of all, it's to exalt God. And a church that's going to exalt God and God only will be a Bible-centered church. It will not be built on anything other than the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Number two. A church that exalts God will be a unified church. Now, there's so many things I can say here. I'm talking about this list. And really, the remainder of the message will bring out more. So there's some of them. I know you're going to think he missed one. Well, just wait until I preach the whole thing and see if I missed it or not. Okay. I'm just getting you to think here. that if we are truly exalting God, we will be a Bible-centered church. And if we are truly exalting God, it means we're going to live to honor Him, worship Him, praise Him, and that means we're going to be in obedience to Him, and a church that's in obedience to God will be unified, will be in harmony. The Bible says in Psalm 133:1, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Acts chapter 7, verse 26, and the next day He showed Himself unto them as they strove and would have set them at one again, saying, sirs, ye be brethren, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? 1 Corinthians 12:25, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Philippians 2:2, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. The Lord's will is for the local church to be in unity with one another, under His authority and under His control. Now, I say this often because I know the possibilities. And I'll tell you why I know the possibilities, because all we are is sinful flesh. That's all we are, friends. And every one of us have to fight against it. And I wonder tonight, is there anybody in this church that you don't like? Is there anybody in this church that you think to yourself, boy, they did me wrong? Is there anybody in this church that you've convinced yourself that God agrees with you to be bitter at them? I'm telling you, friends, I'm plowing right on all of our rows here. We all have to fight at staying right with one another. It's a battle. Let's be honest. It is a battle. Some people are not very easy to get along with, are they? Amen. I didn't get any amens because you're too afraid to say it right there. I'm telling you that you have to work at being unified. Let me tell you why. The devil fights unity. He does. Because the church in the book of Acts, the Bible says when they were all in one accord, that's when the Holy Spirit of God came. And God knows and the devil knows that he needs, listen to me, it is the power of the Holy Spirit of God that makes the difference. And one thing that keeps him away is division in the body. He does not like it. It grieves him. So a church that exalts God will be a Bible-centered church. A church that truly exalts God. We're looking at the mission. The mission is to exalt God. That's it. And a church who's exalting God will be a unified church. Number three, it'll be a loving church. The Bible says in 1 John 3:11, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. One man put it this way. He said, when Rosemary, my youngest child, was three, she was given a little rag doll, which quickly became an inseparable companion. She had other toys that were intrinsically far more valuable, but none that she loved like she loved the rag doll. Soon the rag doll became more and more rag and less doll. It also became more and more dirty. If you tried to clean the rag doll, it became more ragged still. If you didn't try to clean it, the rag doll became dirtier still. The sensible thing to do was to trash the rag doll. But that was unthinkable for anyone who loved my child. Because if you love Rosemary, you love the rag doll. It was part of the package. May I say this to you? We're all rag dolls. But Jesus loves every one of us. And if you love Jesus, you'll love the rag dolls. I'm telling you, I just love a bunch of rag dolls tonight. And do you mind to love a rag doll here? That's all we are. We're not anything special except Jesus loves us. Aren't you glad of that tonight? Jesus loves you. He loves you. And if you love Him, you'll love what He loves and you'll hate what He hates. And if there's somebody that you can't stand, you know what you're telling God? I don't love you. That's Bible. The Word of God even says, if you say, I'm paraphrasing, if you say you love God and hate your brother, you're a liar. God's Word says, if you don't love who you can see, how do you think you love Him who you don't see? You know, He just knows how to shut our mouth, doesn't He? I'm telling you, a church that truly exalts God will be a loving church. A loving church. Number four, I got two more and I'm done. A church that exalts God, living up to the mission of the local church, that the first mission is to exalt God. That's it. It'll be a holy church. There's no doubt about it. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." You know what holy means? You're set apart for God's use. That's what it means. Somebody says, no, holy means that it's loose enough, it's long enough. Come on, friends. We have those standards. I'm glad we've got those standards. But you don't look at somebody because of the way they're dressed and say, that's a holy person. No. We're talking about the attitude of the heart. Have you truly set yourself aside for the use of God? Dr. Clarence Sexton said this, "The measure of the first century church was in its likeness to Jesus Christ." Wow, what a statement. If we're going to bring glory to God in the local church, we must live holy lives. Set apart for God's use. Not in the world, but not of the world. Just coming apart so we can be used of God. Then in closing tonight, we're looking at this first mission now, exalting God. A church that exalts God will be a Bible-centered church. It'll be a unified church. It'll be a loving church. It'll be a holy church. And then in closing, it'll be a praying church. The Bible says in Acts 1:13 and 14, "And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren." Dr. Clarence Sexton told a story, and I'm repeating it here. He said, "In my reading, I came across a story about Martin Lloyd Jones, a well-known preacher who is now in heaven. After Martin Jones' death, another preacher went to see his widow. And the preacher said, and I quote, 'We're going to miss your husband's preaching.' But Jones' widow replied, 'You're going to miss his preaching, but I'm going to miss his praying. He was mightier in prayer than he was in the pulpit. And what we do in public is to no avail if what we are in private is not mighty with God.'" That's convicting. We will never accomplish what must be accomplished for the Lord and His glory without being a praying church. It will not happen. God will make sure it does not happen. Because he will not share his glory with anybody. Imagine if God just let people do their own, which he does. He lets them do their own thing, everything else, and all these kind of things. And all of a sudden they start saying, "Look what we did." There will be nobody say that in God's presence and God be pleased with it. And I'm telling you that prayer is our declaration of dependence upon Jesus Christ. D.L. Moody said, "If we do not begin in prayer, we will surely end in failure." That's a great statement. A local church that exalts God will no doubt be a praying church. Now, I'm convicted. Before I even ask this question, because I know what I'm going to ask, it's in my mind. How long is a wrong question. How intense were you in prayer today? May I say this? Somebody can spend an hour in prayer, and yet somebody can spend 5 minutes in prayer. And if the 5 minutes is more intense than the hour, God's more pleased with that 5 minutes than he is the hour, friends. I'm not asking how long you spent in prayer. I'm asking how intense were you today? Now I'm cut. Let's just be honest. Whether we realize it or not, we tell God too often, I can handle this, by lack of prayer. Now these five things, I know they're not everything, because I'm going to preach on other things whenever I continue, okay? These other things I'm going to bring out about the local church all revolves around what I preached on tonight. He's the master. He calls the shots. And part of the mission is we are to exalt Him. We are to lift Him up. And if we're going to lift Him up, we will be a Bible-centered church, a unified church, a loving church, a holy church, a praying church, and everything I've got to say here on after. It's all about Him, and it's nothing about us. We're just the beneficiaries. And may the Lord help us see this. If you're part of a local church, this local church, or any Bible-believing local church that's preaching the Word of God, you ought to get on your face and thank God for giving you that privilege. There are places around the world that do not have a church like this one. And one of my many burdens, I thank God I've got some burdens in this life. And one of my many burdens, it goes back to Dr. Clarence Sexton. Can you tell he's influenced my life a little bit? He's got a burden that came from Dr. Lee Robertson. And Dr. Lee Robertson got a burden for small town America. Small town America. These small towns that do not have a Bible preaching church. And I'm going to tell you what they need. They need a church just like Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We ought to thank God for our church tonight. God's given us something special here. Do you know that? And may we understand something? I don't call the shots here. You don't either. God does. And we have a desire at this church. It's called, you know what I'm preaching on tonight? Right there it is, a heart for God. That's it. Tonight, heart for, why? Why a heart for God? Because He owns this place. Amen. And if we have a heart for God, everything else will just fall right in place. This is where we've got to start. You don't start here, you're going to miss it. And this not only helps the local church, this helps your life. And not only helps your life, it helps your marriage, it helps your children. It settles everything. I belong to Him. I'm going to exalt Him. And if you want to exalt Him because you know He owns you, you don't care what anybody thinks of you. You only care what He thinks of you. God help us to be a local church like that. Amen tonight. May the Lord help us here. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we? Father, would You touch this? Would You bless this? Would You breathe upon it? Just as we've just gotten started with this. The doctrine of the local church. The doctrine of the local church. Thank You for establishing this church back in the 1700s. And Lord, how You've protected it down through the years. And we thank You that we're sitting in it tonight. We thank You that it does not belong to us, it belongs to You. Would You guide us now, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. I wanted tonight, because I never want to let a service come and go without giving you the opportunity to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I don't know your heart, just like you don't know mine. But I know this, I know the heart of God. And the heart of God is He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if you're here tonight, but you have never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you come in just a moment. Let us take a Bible, share the gospel with you. Make this the greatest day of your life by trusting Jesus Christ. And tonight, here's what I want to ask. I ask if God has put a thanksgiving in your heart for the local church. If tonight maybe He's just reminded you what you have in this place. The local church. The church that's in a local area. Right here in Gray, Tennessee. What a local church it is. And we ought to get on our face and thank God for it. That there's a place we can gather that's dedicated to glorifying God. And I wonder tonight, I'm going to ask Brother Gary just to begin to sing. Some of you need to get out of your seat and just get on your knees and thank God for the local church. Some of you need to get out of your seat and say, God, would you help us live what the preacher preached tonight? We realize that you're the master. You own this place. We don't own it. Nobody else owns it. And God, would you help us to fulfill the mission that the pastor talked about, number one, to exalt you in everything we do. Help us to be a church that pleases God. Help us to always be a church like that. As Brother Gary sings, would you come? Father, take it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. He's singing, come on, thank God for this place. If the Lord's laying it on your heart. If the Lord's laying it on your heart.
Have thine own way.
If you need to come and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, come. Let us take a Bible. Share the gospel with you.
Mold me and
make it the greatest night of your life.
Me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many of you, and I raise my hand here, but how many of you were reached from this local church? What I mean is somebody knocked on your door, introduced you to Jesus, or you came to a meeting here that somebody invited you to. Or, in other words, your salvation is tied to this local church. Would you raise your hand? Your salvation's tied to this local church. If you raised your hand, I want you to lower it and look at me just a moment. Would you do that? So is your pastor. God used this place, not the building, you understand, but God used this local church to introduce us to Jesus. We got something to be thankful for, don't we? You ought to thank God for this place. I'm not talking about the building. You understand what I'm saying. I'm talking about God's people that meet together here. Somebody invited you in, or somebody knocked on your door from this local church. And now you're going to heaven because somebody from this local church introduced you to Jesus. We should never forget it. Ever. It could have been a mom, a dad who brought you here. That's how mine. I mean, I wouldn't have been here without my mom and dad. They were not the ones who led me to Christ, but they're the ones who got me here, you understand? God's used this place. And may the Lord help us to keep it straight, not to veer off. May Brother Gary sing one more verse. Maybe some of you need to get out of your seat and say, I just want to thank you for what this local church means to me. As he sings, you come now, would you please? If God's leading,
have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting.
But if you take out your prayer list tonight, turn to the missionary section. I want to give you